Thank you very much. I'm Merman Joins, and for the next few moments, we're going to discuss some of the miracles of the New Testament. The miracles of the Bible have been repeatedly appealed to in an attempt to justify every conceivable kind of welfare program, and some of the miracles of Jesus and the apostles do demonstrate a compassion for suffering humanity. But the manner in which acts of supernatural healing have been handled recently obscures the real purpose of the New Testament miracles, and it tends to de-emphasize what ought to be exalted: the spiritual need of man, the transcendent value of revelation, and the importance of eternal life. Miracles were primarily a manifestation of God's power and serve to confirm the gospel message of salvation. Even some miracles which reveal the great, tender, throbbing heart of Jesus have as their primary purpose the confirmation of the Word. Now, many passages in the New Testament plainly state that the main reason for miracles was to convince the people that Jehovah placed His approval upon the message being presented. When a man was brought to Jesus sick with palsy and lying on his bed, Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven." Now, certain scribes were inwardly accusing Jesus of blaspheming, and Jesus replied to their unasked question, "For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise and take up thy bed and go unto thy house,'" in Matthew 9, verses 2 through 6. The obvious purpose of Jesus in the performance of this miracle was to demonstrate the power of God was present in him. Now, Brother McGarvey says that the miracle did not prove per se that the miracle worker could forgive sins, but that Jesus had set up the claim that he could forgive sins, and the performance of the miracle proved it. Now, Nicodemus saw the miracles of Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs which thou doest except God be with him." John 3 and verse 2. And Jesus points out that the absence of miracles would have justified rejecting him. "And if I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not sinned. But now they both have seen and hated both me and my Father." John 15, verse 24. When John sent two of his disciples to inquire, that's John the Immerser, if Jesus was indeed the Christ, they were told, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling in me." In Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. When Jesus turned water into wine, it is declared that this miracle manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John 2, verse 11. In the healing of the nobleman's son, Jesus pointed out, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will in no wise believe." John 4, verse 48. While this was spoken in criticism, yet it established the power of miracles to convince the unbeliever. When Jesus stilled the tempest, he rebuked the disciples for their little faith. And this reaction to the miracle was, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" in Matthew 8 and verse 27. After receiving the news of Lazarus' death, Jesus said, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe." John 11, verse 15. Not only did this demonstrate a divine power to confirm the faith of his own apostles, but it also provoked others to glorify God and to believe. In John 12, verses 9 through 11, even in the feeding of the thousands, Jesus rebuked the people for supposing his purpose among men was merely to provide them with food for the body, and called attention to the need to believe on him and work for the food which abideth unto eternal life. In John 6, verses 26 and 27. In nearly every miracle performed by our Lord, where the reactions of the people are given, it is clear that the miracle in some manner caused those who observe to be made aware of the power and the presence of God. Notice these clauses and phrases in connection with several miracles. All men marveled, in Mark 5 and verse 20. And the fame thereof went forth into all the land, Matthew 9 and verse 26. Her parents were amazed, in Luke 8 and verse 56. When the multitude saw it, they were afraid and glorified God, in Matthew 9 and verse 8. And they were all amazed, saying, "What authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him," in Mark 1 and verse 27. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen among us, and God hath visited his people," Luke 7 and verse 16. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God," in Matthew 14 verse 33. "When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, this is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world," John 6 verse 14. "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing," John 9 verse 33. All the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him, Luke 13 and verse 17. And they were beyond measure astonished, Mark 7 verse 37. And they were all astonished at the majesty of God, in Luke 9 and verse 43. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God, in Luke 18 and verse 43. We know that his witness is true, John 21 and verse 24. Now this is should be proof to everyone who reads them that these things that were said shows the effect that the miracles had upon these people, and that it was for their good that these miracles were done, and it proved that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Furthermore, if the miracles of Jesus were intended to teach primarily the concern of God for the physical needs of man and his social welfare, why were they limited to Jews only? I might compare Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And if the miracles of Jesus were given for the main purpose of demonstrating divine concern for man's fleshly body, why did miracles cease? Is not God as concerned for the fleshly body of man today as he was 2,000 years ago? No man ever healed merely for the sake of healing, but that the miracle might prove the deity of Jesus and the validity of his claims. Now, the primary purpose of miracles is clearly stated in the following passages. "Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." in John 20, verses 30 and 31. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues or languages, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they went forth and preached everywhere the word of the Lord with them, and confirming the word by signs that followed. And Mark 16:17, and also 18 and 20. Now, there's one reason why he makes this statement here. When Jesus came to them for this last bit of instruction, when he came, that some worshipped him and some doubted. And when he arrived, he upbraided them. He chastised them. He corrected them for their unbelief. Now he says, if you believe, you'll be able to do these things. So it's clear why he made the statements that he made concerning what they would be able to do. That is, if they believe, they'll be able to do this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness both of signs and wonders and divers miracles according to his own will. In Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. The crowning miracle of the ages was the resurrection of Jesus. Paul stated emphatically that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In Romans 1 and verse 4. Now, Peter exultantly proclaims, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So you see, it depends upon the resurrection of Christ whether his word is believed, whether it is obeyed, whether it benefits mankind or not. And that last statement came from 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Now, this miracle was so completely revived the discouraged disciples that Peter speaks of it as a begetting to a living hope, conception in the mind taking place. A conclusive argument used by Peter on the first Pentecost after the death of Christ was that the miracle, the resurrection, fully established Jesus as God's Son. This Jesus did God raise up, wherefore we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this, which you see and hear. For David descended not into the heavens, but he hath himself. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 2 and verse 32 and also verse 36. When a court trial is conducted, the witnesses are necessary to establish the facts in the case. But once these facts are established and made a part of the written record of the court, the witnesses are no longer required. The written record becomes the permanent source for settling all future questions about the facts in the case. In a similar way, miracles are needed to confirm the original proclamation of the word, but once confirmed and recorded, the written record becomes the permanent source of God's revealed truth. The faith was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3. Now the primary purpose of miracles was to confirm the faith. And by a certified gospel, which Paul said he preached in Galatians 1, to supply the spiritual needs of all the people for all time, to make the miracle serve any lesser goal than this would be to emasculate them and to make God a respecter of persons. The established facts of the gospel of God are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And when we read those things, we realize that this was able to beget in us a living hope of an immortal life, and Jehovah is, in the wonderful word of life, confirmed by miracles and signs and wonders, is saying to us of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And Matthew, the 17th chapter, and verse 5. So miracles have come, they have served their purpose, and now the written record is all that we have left. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today.